Hey everybody, it is Tuesday of 7 Days 7 Podcast. We are officially in SummerSlam week. I apologise for me not being available yesterday with Sondra. I had a really sore head and I went to lie down for an hour and I woke up and it was 7 hours later. So, wasn't podcasting. But I'm back now with my lovely St. Louis friend, David J. McCutcheon. Hi, David.
Hey everybody, how's everyone doing today? I hope that you're doing lovely. We're in the midst of the 7 Days 7 podcast extravaganza. Everybody always gets really excited whenever we do these, Kenny. Why would you get excited? I always wonder, because why would anyone want to listen to us talk for 7 days? But people do. People love it.
People do.
It's all the rage. It's all the rage with the cool millennial kids, I hear.
And I decided, for whatever reason, it'd be a good idea to organize a new live tour. Do 7 Days 7 podcasts and go on holiday midway through that week. I mean, that'd be a good idea.
Not
burn myself out at all on Tuesday.
So basically on Tuesday, the second day of 7 Days 7 podcasts, Kenny, you're running on fumes is what you're telling me.
Already.
Well, if there's one thing I knew already about you, it's that stamina is not your strong suit.
Well, I mean, don't ask Val because she will correct you on that. But
watch you run track.
I've never understood anyone who runs. Like, what are you running towards?
Things can wait. People, things can wait a little while at the very least. Ugh. And it ruins your knees. Why would you do that? Go for a brisk walk, Kenny.
Go for a brisk walk. I do just want to say, though, as part of 7 Days 7 podcast, some of the time we're going to have guests on the show. Like yesterday we had DDP. So what we'd like you to do, there's thousands of you guys that listen to this, and I know a lot of you are going to be on Twitter, so if you like the show or one of the shows, just send a tweet out with the hashtag 7Days7 podcast and tag any of the guests that we have on that you like, because the more tweets that they get, they might want to spread the words of Inside the Ropes a little bit. They might want to spread it to their friends, other wrestlers, and it'll just grow the show. So that's my shitty plug for the beginning.
Yeah, do that. We like being famous. And we can get famous by the wrestlers acknowledging us. So you should do that, people. It'd be nice.
And also, on a more serious note, I want to really send out all of our well wishes from Inside the Ropes, whatever that means to anybody, but all of our wishes to the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. He is one of the best of all time. He is... You just can't say enough about the guy. Like, he's just... I heard a story from Dave Meltzer, so it was kind of the epitome of Ric Flair, and it was that he was going to go to a UFC show and they were trying to think about where to seat him, and somebody said they should just have a throne above the octagon for him to sit on. and that's what MMA thinks about him. Imagine what wrestling thinks about him. So he went into the hospital over the weekend. He had colon surgery. He had some wrong with his colon, and I think he either didn't know about it or didn't think it was as severe as it was, and then issues flared up. He was put in a medically induced coma. He has had successful colon surgery. He's not out of the woods yet. He's still in critical condition, but everybody's behind him. Fans, people in wrestling. So I'm keeping everything crossed, and I really hope that we get to see him again someday, and you know, just make an appearance and show that cheeky smile, because he's just one of the best.
Yeah, I speaking of Meltzer, he also shared a story with Lance Storm on Twitter that I retweeted. Apparently, whenever it was him versus Chris Jericho, and the two of them went back and forth continually over who would go over in the match. And Flair was adamant that Jericho be the victor and vice versa. And Meltzer stated that wasn't the only time that he would do that. If he really respected a guy, he would fight creative in order to lose to the guy. So, I mean, how many wrestlers would do that?
Just him and Hogan, really.
Truly, though. Polar opposites. Like, that's nuts. because Flair understood that he was bulletproof. Flair could lose 100 times out of 100, and he'd still be more over than the guy that he put over, you know?
Yeah, he would. And I think that, like, I was so glad he got that run in WWE from 2001 to 2008, because I think he needed it for himself, and he needed it for, you know, I mean, I know him and Eric Bischoff are fine now, but they weren't in 1998, and, you know, it was just a rough time for him in the late night. Although I did really get a kick out of him being the president of WCW.
Yeah, I enjoyed president of WCW Flair. Very fun.
But anyway, let's get straight into Raw, because I have a ton of podcasting to do today, so...
Kenny, come on now. You're really going to just graze over the biggest faux babyface controversy in the land today?
Go on.
Well, I think we all know that a certain popular star is getting pushed as a babyface whenever they're clearly a heel. You know what I'm talking about?
Roman Reigns?
No. The neo-Nazis, Kenny.
okay. God.
Just had to get that out of my system.
Okay. It's funny.
Inside the ropes, by the way. Pure anti-Nazi. I know that's a crazy stance to take in 2017, you guys, but I think I can speak for everyone here, maybe not Robert, but I think we're all very anti-Nazi.
The thing that I think is really interesting about that is, like, you know, there's so much going around on Twitter about, you know, the WWE Hall of Famer president, that he, like, I think it was somebody said, like, his show got criticized by somebody, and he tweeted back about it 6 minutes later. It took him 60 hours to tweet back about Nazism being wrong. And then the thing that's funny is, like, the people who are now, like, neo-Nazis, like, they come from people who beat the Nazis.
Yes! Yeah, exactly. Like, their great-grandfathers went to war to kill the Nazis. And then they're all like, no, fuck you, Grandpa. I hate black people now. Meh. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, no, this is the best. So, the latest coming out, my Yahoo has just popped up as we're speaking here, and Donald Trump...
Your Yahoo pops up quite often whenever we're speaking, Kenny.
You wish. Fuck's sake. Just because you're not getting any home, don't try and bring your wiener over here. Donald Trump has lashed out at the alt-left, the alternative left. He says... I think there is blame on both sides. You look at both sides, I think there's blame object on both sides. You had some very bad people in that group. You also had some very fine people on both sides.
Oh!
He defended his initial statement where he sent his best regards to people who died. And said that it was a fine statement.
You can't send best regards to dead people.
Here's the best bit, though. He says, before I make a statement, I need the facts, so I don't want to rush into a statement. So making the statement when I made it was excellent.
Oh, fuck me.
That is your fucking country.
We literally have a white supremacist leading our country. Oh, my fucking God. Like, what fucking bizarro world bullshit? And I can't speak for you, but I literally do not care if one person goes, I'm never listening to Inside the Ropes again. They said that Nazis were bad. Cause if we have those people as listeners, they can fuck off and die.
Unless they are $7 Patreon subscribers, in which case, you do what you want in your own time. As long as you come here, spend your money. I'm kidding.
But like, what the fuck? It's so funny though, because like they always point to the Black Lives Matter people and they're all like, ah, but look at them, they're the bad people. It's like, yeah, they're marching because they want black people to stop being murdered. You're fucking marching because you want to murder black people. I'm sorry, that's not even fucking like, no, you can't just do that. I'm sorry, you can't. Oh, Jesus.
Isn't it funny though, like, if somebody had said like 20 years ago, who would you rather be president of the United States, Donald Trump or Arnold Schwarzenegger? You'd have been like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, that's mental. He would have been the sensible choice. The fucking Terminator would have been a more sensible choice than this absolute fucking crackpot.
Oh my! You know, in the States, in the early 90s, the vice president, I forget, it was Quayle, but I forget what word he couldn't spell. And maybe it was potato or something. And everybody just fucking dragged him through the woods for it, you know? By the way, another stupid fucking Republican, if you would believe that.
By the way, I just want to say, I thought that George Bush was the worst. But you know what? I almost would buy George Bush's animated children's book now. Because that guy's fucking Gandhi compared to what it's like now.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, it's fucking the contrast. Jesus Christ.
The thing is, the one thing that makes me kind of laugh, and it's horrible, is that, you know, there's the whole thing about like North Korea and the States and all that. Imagine if Donald Trump stops a nuclear war.
Stops?
Like, imagine if he like wins it and it's like, it turns out North Korea had all these missiles and they were going to shoot them and the world was going to be obliterated. And the savior of the day is Donald Trump. And he's like regarded as like one of the best presidents ever.
Oh, fuck me.
Donald Trump, I've decided, I think that Donald Trump is basically the Roman Reigns of presidency. And that he's perfectly effective at certain parts of his job, but he's completely ineffective in other parts. And the people don't like him, but there's like, instead of like the kids and the women liking him, it's like the Nazis and the racists that like him. And instead of like not putting over like The Undertaker, he doesn't put over abortion. So it's like, all the signs are there. The only difference between Roman Reigns and Donald Trump is one isn't in the Hall of Fame yet. That's the only difference. They both headline WrestleMania multiple times. Anyway, good luck, Americans. Good luck. And people are like, Hillary would have been worse. Would she really have been worse than this? And don't get me wrong. Listen, for people who are on the right, and I actually do think that he has a shredded, I actually think that there are perfectly fine people that are Republicans. Like, I'll be honest with you, I had a chat last year in the car with Eric Bischoff. And we were talking about politics for a little while. And he was like, look, I'm a Republican, but it doesn't mean that I agree with everything on the Republican side. There's a lot of stuff that I'm very liberal on. But there's stuff that I'm, you know, more right on. And we had a really good chat about it. And it was kind of like two kind of sensible people who are on the opposite side kind of saying, you know, well, you think what you think about certain things, I think what I think. But we can get on and communicate. So I think there are people like that. But I think no matter what side you're on, and Hillary Clinton is awful. I'm not going to pretend that she is. She's a criminal. She's awful. She has, her
very, very bad candidate.
Her smile and her like wave, where she seems like she's grabbing children with the wave, is awful. But she still would have been better. She still would have been better.
And fucking like a dog who had a lobotomy would be better and have like better people skills, I think. Like a dog who had a lobotomy who was also infested with rabies could get along with people a lot better than Trump could.
So, I also heard a great thing the other day where apparently every day in the White House, Donald Trump needs to be handed a document of praise from different places.
If that were my job, I would just hand him a piece of paper that had all of the gold stars that a teacher could fit on a paper. And I just that would be my document of praise. I'd just be like, gold star, you did it. I even gave you one of the scratch and sniff ones that smells like a grape. And you'd be like, I don't get it. What's a grape? So
there you go. So we've now alienated, 48% of our listeners.
If 48% of them are neo-Nazis, so long, motherfuckers.
Well, I mean, the neo-Nazi thing is, yeah. I mean, I just can't believe that you would be a neo-Nazi. Like, I can't believe those people exist.
Yeah. No, I it blows my mind. It utterly stuns me. Kenny, we live in a world where Zoe Saldana exists. If you can look at her and go, I'm a racist still, and then I don't know what to tell you guys, then that's the end of it, because she's the pinnacle of beauty, right? So, I mean, if you can see that, if you can see her and just not fucking fall on the floor and go, why do people that pretty exist? Then I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. I'm sorry. Idris Elba, Kenny. Like, what the fuck?
You're just going to shout black people's names now.
Will
Smith!
Black people.
Denzel!
Well, I mean, okay, Denzel, you want me back. Will Smith, no, he can go fuck off straight to hell. But, Denzel, no, I'm back on board.
Did you see that Will Smith's going to play the genie in the new Aladdin movie? Like, what is it? What is it with Robin Williams' roles that are being given to black people?
That's true, actually. I never realized that.
Jesus Christ, let the man rest in peace.
I cannot wait for the Tyler Perry rendition of Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, you beat me to it, you prick. You beat me to it. I was literally going to... Mine was going to be Kevin Hart, but I was... Yeah, okay, yeah. Fucking... I had one bit ready. So the Jesus Christ. Anyway, I think that's kind of the housekeeping out of the way. We don't support Nazis, and #7Days7Podcast if you like the show.
Yeah. Anti-Nazi pro wrestling. You guys get what I did there?
Oh.
Yeah.
So, isn't it going to be really funny, though, if we have to talk about when we're doing this in 2020 and The Rock's the president?
Oh, please. Voting's going to be illegal by then, Kenny, and you know it.
It'd be so sad if it wasn't true. So, let's talk about Monday Night Raw. Go-home show for SummerSlam from Boston, Massachusetts. Very eventful episode. It kicks off with they show the recap from last week, or the last couple of weeks, with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Ambrose comes out to the ring, wants his music cut, and he wants to know what's going on. Seth Rollins comes out. Rollins says that, you know, Ambrose claims he can't trust him, yet he's looking in his eyes and he knows he's lying. And he says, you know, we could run this place if we teamed together again. Rollins says he's done playing games, and if Ambrose is ready to let bygones be bygones, let's do it. He puts the fist out. The crowd are going mental with yes chants. And Ambrose leans against the rope and says, you've got to be kidding me. You know, after you did what you did last week, I put my hand out to you. For a moment, I thought I could trust you. And then Rollins said that, you know, whether they fight or with each other again, so there's no one that can touch them. And Rollins is about to leave, and he says he's done playing games, but Ambrose then put his fist out, the fans go mental again. Rollins looked at his own fist, then he walks away, then Ambrose spins him around, he's like, you know, what are you doing? They start brawling with each other, everybody's just going mental. And then Sheamus and Cesaro run out, try to beat up Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. A stray iPhone is on the floor, and I don't know why, and it still baffles me. Mark Tucker brought it up in the community, I don't understand whose it was. Was it Seth's? Was it Dean's? We need to know the identity of this iPhone, ladies and gentlemen. So please get in touch if you know whose iPhone it is so we can have our minds put at ease. But back to the brawl. So in the end, Ambrose and Rollins end up teaming up and getting rid of Cesaro and Sheamus. And then Ambrose put his fist out, pulled it back. Rollins did the same. And finally, they look at each other, fists out together, they fist pump, the crowd go nuts. Kurt Angle's music comes on, he comes out and makes Sheamus and Cesaro versus Rollins and Ambrose official for SummerSlam for the Raw Tag Team titles. David, what did you think of this opening segment?
This was a good conclusion or apex, climax, whatever you want to call it, to this little fuss and fight that these two have had for the longest time. I still don't want to see them completely smoothed over. I kind of want to see a little bit of friction here and there. But I'd like for them to be successful while there's that friction. To give you the sense that, man, these guys truly are unstoppable whenever they come together. They don't even got to be 100% in order to be above the competition whenever they come together, because the Shield was that strong. So I really like this. I think this is the best possible story for either of these guys right now. I don't, with Seth not being in the title scene right now, and Dean Ambrose not being in the mid-card title scene, I think that this was the best possible course of action right here. So I'm all about it, man. I think it's really truly fantastic. I think it's good. I really bought into it. I'm looking forward to where it goes. I'm interested in the high stakes drama that is going to unfold, because you know they're not done. You know, it just can't be. So this is there's still going to be a few bumps, I think. What do you think?
I was worried because obviously last week we kind of had a disagreement, right, about like, was it the right time to do the fist bump or not, and all that kind of stuff. And I think my sort of argument at the time of like, I think this is good to keep it going, all really hinged upon what they did here. It had to be worth the extra wait, you know, because sometimes in wrestling it's like, do you give fans what they want? Do you make them wait? And it's a tough line to follow. But I felt like this really added to last week for me. Like, I thought that they did a good job of, like, you know, Rollins, you know, saying things like he doesn't know if he can trust himself. And, like, I think that the idea that they're not fully trusting of each other is part of what makes it work. Because, like, they both kind of... It's like if a couple break up and they're still thinking about each other and they start fucking again and they're like, oh, but do you really want to go back? So what if it's the same as before? And da-da-da. But really, they do just want to be together. And yeah. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose are the platonic version of that. So while some people might have... I think that they kept it going just enough that it was effective. I think the fans in the arena showed how good the story is. And I was totally emotionally invested in the whole thing. But at the end of it, I just wanted to see that fist bump. We got it. And I'm really into the tag title match on Sunday.
No, I think it's going to be really, really good, Kenny. In fact, it may be one of the best matches on the entire card.
It may be. We then had a very quick discussion of the Ric Flair medical situation, and all the announcers were really nice about it. And Booker T actually said something I thought was really sweet, where he said, you know, Ric Flair, when I won my first world title, said he's passing the torch to me, and he said, I hope Ric Flair comes back so I can pass the torch back. Which was really nice.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
We got the number one contendership match for the Raw Women's Championship, Sasha Banks and Nia Jax, with Alexa Bliss on a lifeguard chair, which they were calling a throne. But I thought it was a lifeguard chair because it's the biggest party of the summer. That was my initial thought. But...
Yeah, I didn't know what the fuck was going on with this, Kenny. I'll be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really understand what it's called a throne, because it wasn't really a throne.
I didn't get. Do you think that maybe Vince didn't understand?
Maybe. I mean, that's very possible. That's very, very possible.
So he's like feeding them lines. Oh, call it a throne. It's like, what? Yeah, it was very strange. A lot of mixed signals with this one.
Indeed. So we get the match with Sasha and Nia Jax, and it goes about 15 minutes. I thought this match was excellent. I really enjoyed it. I think Nia Jax has come a long way. I know some people are very quick to say, well, she injured Bayley, and it's like, pretty much if you like a wrestler, from most times in history, they have been involved in a match when an opponent got injured. So
yeah.
I just think the whole blame game is not something that we should get caught up in. I think Nia Jax has improved. I thought they made her look strong enough. There was various times where I thought Nia Jax might get the win. And in the end, it took a lot for Sasha to beat her. A lot of stuff.
Yeah. No, it really did, right? Yeah. It was it was high stakes, high drama TV, Kenny. And it had the best finish of the night, I thought. Because I bought into it like three different times, and it just kept getting better and better and better until finally it hit the crescendo, and it was very well done, I thought. Whoever came up with this finish and went over it with the ladies did an excellent job, and they did the perfect job of culminating this. It was wonderful. I truly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really loved the when Sasha had the bank statement in, and then she turns it into the tornado DDT to reapply it. Just really good.
Yeah, so great, right? I popped so hard. It was great.
After the match, Alexa Bliss kind of smirked, and they're going to fight on Sunday, and I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle's backstage. He's excited about Alexa and Sasha. The Hardys come in. They spoke about how they won't be able to get their hands on the Revival because of Scott Dawson's injury. Matt said, it's unfortunate because we always have a delightful time at SummerSlam. The Miz Taraj then come in, and the Miz asks Kurt Angle what he's going to do to make up for unleashing Brock Lesnar on him. Angle said nothing, which made the Hardys laugh, and then Angle books Curtis Axel in the match with Jason Jordan that was supposed to happen last week. Miz accused Angle of abusing his power and said that he's going to take on Jason Jordan, not Curtis Axel. And then the Miz is like midway through trying to cut a promo on Kurt Angle at how incompetent he is, and a referee comes in and goes, there's a problem with Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt, and Kurt Angle just runs away. And the Miz is just so perfect here, right?
The best, yeah.
So perfect.
Really on his game.
It was great. But I mean, it's going to be weird not seeing the Hardys not on the pay-per-view, right?
Yeah. Little strange, I would say. But I mean, I don't know. Do you think they'll give them something to do? Because I almost feel like it's mandatory, right?
I don't think there's room. Like, where do you put it?
I don't know. Maybe an angle. Maybe not even in-ring competition, but some type of angle. I don't know.
Maybe Goldust proteges and Hardys.
Delightful!
We then get Balor and Bray Wyatt having a fight, and Kurt Angle says, you're going to get your SummerSlam match early. It's coming tonight. We cut to Elias Samson in the ring. Apparently he's got the Samson name back because the announcers kept calling him Elias Samson. He made fun of Boston.
Blame Booker T.
for just not letting it go. He cut a promo, sang a song, sorry, about Boston, calling it a dump. And then R-Truth came out to ruin everyone's day. But luckily Elias Samson attacked him and beat him up, and that was the end of that.
It was over relatively quickly, and I like that the one musician is now feuding with the other musician. It feels a lot more apropos than Elias Samson fighting Finn Balor. So, I don't know, but just how I feel. Can't speak for everybody, Kenny, but...
At least it was quick. Big Cass comes out to the ring to do a promo, and he got some great heat here, actually, doing the whole stop and start thing, and
I was shocked by how much heat he got.
Yeah, I mean, I know, obviously it was scripted for him to stop and start, but I thought he did really well. And then Enzo comes out, makes fun of him, and then the Big Show comes out, Big Show goes in the ring, Cass, the shark cage has been lowered into the ring. So Cass is using it to sort of like avoid the Big Show. And then referees come out because basically the club gets involved and they come in the ring and tie Big Show's hand up against the shark cage, and the three of them break his hand, his right hand, so he cannot hit the knockout punch on Sunday. I thought it was very clever. And interesting to see the club with Cass.
Yeah, I was a little shocked by that, but I mean, I feel like the club desperately needs to get off of Raw. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, they just don't seem to be hitting their stride on Raw for whatever reason, and maybe SmackDown would be better for them.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking and kind of what I'm hoping. So
maybe if
there's
a superstar shakeup, maybe they get drafted.
That's the hope in my household anyway. So yeah, I think that would be best for everyone involved.
I thought they did a good job though with Cass and Show. Kind of, I'm more interested in the match coming out of this than I was going in. So, job done.
I guess. I was gonna say, and that's about all you can ask for. So yeah.
Neville faced off against the tag teams Akira and Tozawa for the Cruiserweight title. And they had like an 11-minute match, and Akira Tozawa won the Cruiserweight title from Neville. Very good match, and surprising to see a title change.
Yeah, a bit of a shocker there, Kenny. I wasn't prepared for that. It took me by surprise.
The thing is, now the Titus brand has something to put on their billboards.
They've actually got some sort of accomplishment. It's kind of what a novel concept, right?
Very novel. The only thing about this match that I would say, and it's not a negative, but like, I'm a big fan of Corey Graves as a commentator. really big fan of him, but I thought the whole kind of like Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson thing was like a real stretch for what this was. Like, you know, come on. But I get it. I initially thought they were doing this.
In all honesty, it kind of felt like a fed line from someone who is out of touch with reality.
I wonder who you're talking about.
I don't know. I'm just shooting the breeze.
Now, I thought this was going to be on here instead of SummerSlam because they got more time, but no, there's a rematch in SummerSlam. Ugh.
Well, we all know what's happening. I mean, he's getting the title back immediately.
I mean, I don't know where he goes if he's not the King of the Cruiserweights anymore.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm not entirely against it because you know how I am, Kenny. I like to watch to see things play out as opposed to just jumping onto a bandwagon going, this was a horrible decision, blah, blah, blah. Very rarely will I do that. So I'm not going to do it here. I know that much. So yeah, I'm interested to see how it plays out. And I think that Tozawa is a suitable guy to hold that title. But by comparison to how good Neville has been, I don't necessarily buy it. But it was a good win, and I liked the finish a lot. I thought that they did a great job. So, yeah.
So I guess we'll see what happens on Sunday in the rematch.
So
Cody Graves hypes there's going to be a big reunion in NXT on Saturday night. A lot of alumni, so that should be fun. Big Show reminded Enzo backstage when Enzo was trying to talk about the match at SummerSlam to remember who Big Show is and that he'll be at SummerSlam. We get a match set up with Emma and Mickey James through a backstage segment. And then we get Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. And the match goes about 11 minutes and Bray Wyatt manages to get the win over Finn Balor with Sister Abigail, pins him clean. And then after the match, he performs another Sister Abigail. And then he has a bucket of, like, thick, gooey red liquid and just pours it all over Finn Balor.
I have no idea what that red liquid was supposed to be, Kenny.
Well, the best thing that I was alerted to today by somebody is that somebody said, oh, no, he just poured JoJo's period blood over him.
Oh, what the fuck? What is wrong with people?
Because, you know, they had an affair. So, that's the... Anyway. So I'm not... I didn't say it. I'm just telling you what somebody said on Twitter. Sorry if like something's funny. Jesus.
Horrible.
Oh, no, these people who have loads of money get a joke made about them. Anyway, so later on, Finn Balor has an interview where he basically says that, you know, Bray Wyatt's got his demons, but Finn's got his demons too. And it's official, the demon Finn Balor's going to face Bray Wyatt. I actually thought this was a really, really cool way to get to it by having Bray Wyatt beat Finn Balor quite easily and be able to dispose of him. And the only way that Finn can have a chance is to bring out the demon. I prefer that than just kind of like, yay, it's SummerSlam, let's have the demon.
Right. No, I actually really liked the progression of this and the blood thing. That was pretty cool, actually. I enjoyed it. It's kind of fun to see them do things like that. Because, you know, the product is kind of sterilized, let's be honest. They have to appease those toy makers and what all. So, kind of fun to see that transpire like that. It's different, a little off the cuff. It seemed a little more spontaneous and interesting. So, yeah, I'm all in on this feud for SummerSlam. I'm interested to see... how well they re-debuted the demon character.
And then that takes us into a match with Mickey James and Emma, which it went about 4 or 5 minutes, and it was fine. Like, it wasn't bad. It was just there, and Mickey James gets the win. But I'm curious to get your take on it, because with this, there's, like, two camps of thought. There's some thoughts that are like, who cares? You know, there's two women who are not really doing anything, so I'm not that interested. That's kind of one camp of thought. And then the other camp is people who are really behind either Emma or Mickey James or both and really want to see them doing more. How do you feel about both characters and where do you think ideally they should be given the landscape and given everybody else who's around in the women's division?
I think Emma is, like, I like Emma a lot, and so I hate to say anything negative about her, but, I mean, she was given a gimmick and she said no, and now she is on social media, and you can tell that she's kind of taking the Zack Ryder approach with it, of going into business for herself, and we saw how well that took off with Ryder. The company clearly dislikes that and frowns upon it. And yet she's doing it anyway. This was to send a message. It was even on the commentary whenever they were calling this after the fact. And they mocked her social media push. So, I mean, to me, this was a message to Emma to, hey, you're done here, more or less.
I mean, I think, I know that Michael Farrer, one of our listeners, is like the biggest Emma supporter on the entire planet, so shout out to him. But I think the thing with Emma is it's not that she said no to a gimmick. It's that she said no 20 weeks into it with all these vignettes. And like, I'm not saying that the gimmick was the best thing in the world at all, but she would have got pushed. And if she's good, she would have made it work. You know, like, so, and then, you know, but Michael actually said on Twitter, he was like, you know, if they don't want her, just release her. And I think it's, I don't think they necessarily want to get rid of her, but I think that they have an idea of where she is right now in the pecking order of things, and that's just kind of where she is. And I actually understand it. You know, if I'm a guy who runs a wrestling company and I go up to one of my wrestlers and say, hey, I want to do this gimmick with you. Here's what it is. It's going to be featured very heavily, blah, 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 blah. And they go, yeah, cool, and then we do it, and then we put all these vignettes for like 20 weeks, and then it's like, oh, I don't really want to do it. I'm not going to be inclined to be like, well, I want to make you my top star in that division.
Right, like, right. You're not going to bestow more opportunities for them to tell you no to things.
Yeah, whereas, like, I think if Emma's going to get... I think if she sticks around, she will get pushed again in some way. Eventually, and it's really up to her if she can bide her time till that happens.
Right. But,
you know, if she wants to leave, I get that as well, because, you know, I remember speaking to Daivari years ago, and he said that one thing is whenever you leave WWE, people remember the perception that you had when you left. So you should always keep your perception high.
Yes. Yeah. And honestly, that's excellent advice. You don't want to leave stale. You want to leave with people wanting more. Or if you do leave stale, stay off of the indies long enough to rebuild your brand the way that Cody Rhodes did.
Yeah, exactly. If you can rebuild yourself, you know, that would work as well. I think Emma would be one of the people that would actually benefit from if they ever did put NXT in the Superstar Shakeup.
Absolutely. She would be perfect for it. Yeah.
Then we got... the match with The Miz and Jason Jordan. The match starts, Jordan's kind of got the upper hand, then Axel and Bo Dallas come in for the DQ. The Hardys then run it to make the save, and then we get a six-man with the Hardys and Jason Jordan against The Miz and The Miztourage. It goes like 15 minutes, which is a long time for this match. It was fine, but in the end, I think it was Bo Dallas got the pinfall because... Matt hit a twist of fate on him, Jeff did the Swanton Bomb, and the Hardys and Jason Jordan get the win. This just seemed to be a very clear attempt to get Jason Jordan over by putting the Hardys with him.
Yeah, it kind of reeked of The Office, as I would describe it, and the crowd wasn't really buying it. The crowd was pretty against Jason Jordan here, so... I don't know what they're trying to accomplish here, but I don't think it's working.
I think with Jordan, like, Jordan's a really good wrestler, but it's just, you know, this gimmick is going to depend on how he can handle it on the mic. And
yeah.
He needs to get good on the mic really quick.
Very, very quickly, yeah, because... I mean, this is entirely contingent on him succeeding on the mic, you know? Because in the ring, he can go. No one's going to claim otherwise. He's great.
Yeah, no, he's really good, but it's just whether he can carry it off on the mic. And that'll be the test. I'm guessing if him and Miz do the September pay-per-view. So,
right.
I'm hoping for him. I do like him, but...
Yeah, no, I think I speak for everybody whenever I say we're pulling for him, but, man, it's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle.
Just a little bit. Kurt Angle's in the ring for the last segment. He introduces Brock Lesnar, who comes out with Paul Heyman. Heyman cuts just a dynamite promo where he talks about, you know, Kurt Angle and the WWE have got a conspiracy. They're conspiring against Brock Lesnar. And Heyman said, if you put Lesnar on the same ring as challengers, then you could have all the security you want, but all hell would break loose. Heyman remembers his dad telling him, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean the whole world is not against you, which is a good line.
Great line, yeah.
It said there's a conspiracy theory that resulted in Brock Lesnar being in the ring with three top challengers, the idea that they're going to take Brock Lesnar out, and then one of them escapes like a thief in the night, and then Heyman says, I'm a fan. And as a fan, Mr. Angle, that concept sucks.
what a delight.
He talks about, you know, if someone's able to beat Brock Lesnar one-on-one, they have the right to be champion, and he would happily say that they are the man. But that is not going to happen the way it goes down on Sunday. Braun Strowman, he's got the tools to be champion. He's a monster among men, but in the horror film that happens this Sunday, the beast slays the monster. I love Paul Heyman so much.
Just so good.
Roman Reigns.
You know what the best line was?
Oh, we're getting to it. I'm going to throw it to you in a second for that one. He talks about Roman Reigns quickly, and he talks about, you know, Reigns is the man that retired The Undertaker and claims it's his yard. He said Roman's yard is in Lesnar's house, and rent is due at SummerSlam. Oh, God, I almost got hard. It was so good. He said one of two things is going to happen on Sunday. One, the conspiracy is successful, and Lesnar is ripped of his title and leaves WWE. To which he then said, David, are you going to do the line?
No. You are the man who delivers the lines here, Kenny. I react.
Okay, so
get it right. Get your role correctly. Know your role, jabroni, and shut your mouth. But no, don't actually shut your mouth. Keep talking.
So one, the conspiracy is successful and Brock Lesnar is ripped of the title, and then he and Lesnar leave WWE, and then Paul Heyman said, and if that happens, you might as well lock up this beast in a cage. Hint, hint. Oh my God. I mean, this guy.
The best talker, well, no, I won't say in the history. The second best talker in the history of wrestling to Bobby Heenan. Kenny.
Oh, he's untouchable. To the point where he is the only guy in WWE, really, that Vince will not make him have scripted lines.
Yeah, and like, man, you don't need to give him anything. He could sell popsicles to an Eskimo.
He's been cutting promos for Brock Lesnar for the past 5 years. And I can only recall one bad promo.
Yeah.
Just one. Do you remember?
Yep. Of course. It was his infamous Goldberg promo that we mentioned a few weeks back.
That's the one. So he then the other scenario is that Lesnar beats the challengers and shows that Paul Heyman actually undersold the greatness of Brock Lesnar. And that the crowd of the jury and his case for them buying the network at SummerSlam. Samoa Joe comes out. Joe said that he would alleviate some of Paul Heyman's fear. And that Lesnar told Brock Lesnar that he doesn't fear him and that he's going to come and rip his title out of his hands and he was going to put him to sleep in the middle of the ring. Braun Strowman then comes out and says, in case you didn't know, I'm always the last man standing, just ask Roman Reigns. To which Samoa Joe excellently just said, maybe you don't remember what happened. He was stomping you around the building until I arrived. And Braun Strowman just looks at him like he's about to murder him. And then, of course, Roman Reigns makes his entrance. And as soon as he gets in there, he spears Samoa Joe, as he should, because Samoa Joe cost him last week. And it all ends up with Lesnar and Strowman takes care of Reigns, and it's Lesnar and Strowman left in the ring. They want to fight. Security are trying to break them up. They eventually beat up the security. Then a bunch of wrestlers come out. And the show goes off the air with Lesnar and Strowman trying to get to each other as wrestlers try and pull them apart. This whole thing just made me 100% confident of why I wanted to see this Fatal 4-Way. Like, this is the match of the summer. This is it.
Yeah. This is really good, Kenny. I'm very, very, very stoked for it. I can't wait. I guess this is the go-home show, and you'll be traveling across the pond to catch this live. And we've been keeping track of it, Kenny. Who walks out of SummerSlam the WWE champion?
My money is on the Beast, Brock Lesnar, to retain his WWE Universal Championship. Although, I will say there's two things to bear in mind here. Number one, apparently the finish to this match is being kept secret from everybody. Nobody knows the ending of this match. And if you look at the history of Brock Lesnar matches, they pretty much always have a shocking conclusion.
Yeah.
Or something happens that you're not expecting, which is why I think these matches are so exciting. The other thing is there's potentially a special guest at SummerSlam.
A special guest?
There are rumors, and the man himself has alluded to those rumors, that Jon Jones may be in the crowd for SummerSlam.
Oh, fuck.
Now,
that could be a bit of a game changer with the outcome.
You never know, but there's a lot of different ways this can go. And I think it's great. I want to say one thing about the Shield thing, because I know a lot of people have been talking about it. And I totally get why people maybe want to see the Roman in the Shield or think that the reunion is incomplete without him. But what I would say is that I think with Seth and Dean, but part of the reason this has worked is because everybody wants it. Everybody wants them. And yeah. I think Roman Reigns is an excellent performer as a wrestler. I really do. In big matches, he is one of the best. And from what Corey Graves said and brings to the table, it's his locker room now. You know, he's kind of the guy. But a lot of the fans dislike him.
Yeah.
And if you put him in that scenario with the Shield, it's a different vibe. It's a different dynamic. And you're not going to get the reaction you got in that opening segment.
No. Not at all. Not at all. To me, that would... I don't think it would change anything for Roman, but it would kill the momentum that Seth and Dean had built up. I think that's ultimately where the pain lies for that particular angle to play out.
Yeah, I would agree. So, and plus, I think there's so much time for that if you want to tell that story down the line, you know?
Yeah, no. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Those two coming together first, a good idea. Maybe for a heel turn, the whole Shield could get together, but you're never turning Roman babyface, you know? I was thinking about it. I think it's too late to even, commit to him being a heel. I just think it's done. I think the crowd's just going to hate him for the wrong reasons forever.
I think it could work if he turned heel, but it's just you need to be so vigilant about it. Like, you need to do it in such a way that it would be... I think people just want to hate him, so just let them. But what did you think of this Raw? I thought this was probably one of the best Raws of the year in terms of a full show. I didn't really feel like it dragged. I felt like I was invested in most of what happened. And I think that what was really... key about it is that it really got me hyped for SummerSlam from the Raw side.
I thought that the talking points were excellent, and I thought that the wrestling dragged a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's it was an excellent go-home Raw. It progressed the stories, and really that's what you want out of your TV show more than anything. To me, you can save all the big in-ring moments for the pay-per-views, but the talking points and the storylines have to progress on television. So yeah, I like this show a lot. I think I would give it a solid 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. I'm gonna go just a little bit higher, and I'm gonna give it a 9 out of 10.
Ooh,
because I think as what it's designed to be as a go-home show, and I don't think they could have done it any better.
Gotcha. So. Yeah. I mean, little bit of a questionable decision to take the Cruiserweight title off of Neville on plain TV, but I mean, you know, it didn't really matter one way or the other because of the state of the Cruiserweight division, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But David, if people want to find you on Twitter and they want to send you dick pics or tit pics or anything else, where can they find you?
Show me pictures of your genitals and your pets at Zoopsoul. That's ZOOPSOUL. Ain't I great? Yes, I am. Kenny, you're pretty great too. Where can people find you on Twitter? I'm an original of Chris Jericho now. That's my new gimmick.
Jesus Christ. You can find me at KennyMC1985. You can find us at Inside_The Ropes. Lots of stuff going on this week. YouTube channel, youtube.com/InsideTheRopes. Clips going up all the time. Patreon.com/InsideTheRopes for tons of content this week. We hope you enjoy it all. Happy SummerSlam week. Sondra and I are back tomorrow with the SmackDown summary. Just have a great week, everybody.
Have a wonderful time. Go out, punch a neo-Nazi right in the teeth. Just don't break your fist in the process.
There's not much more to say. Goodbye.